I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members. Now let's get back to The Gloom.
And we're back. Got another smiling guy on the other end. Man, I love seeing this guy. Your beard's looking good. I don't know that I've seen that in a while, but I got our man Triple T, or Tony the Tiger, on. Just a phenomenal leader. I remember some of the early runs when you first joined, and just some of the great conversations we had. So excited to get your story out to the guys. Recent PsyQ at the farm. Which is a phenomenal AO down in Sarpy. I've got the chance to queue there. So would just love to hear, kind of take us back to that beginning, who EH'd you, if you remember the first workout. And then how'd you get the name Triple T? I don't know, or Tony the Tiger. I don't know if I know that story.
Yeah, no, that's great. Go back probably, it's been about 5 years now. Biggie Smalls was on the queue at the pit.
Nice.
Okay. That was back in Sarpy. We had the pit. And Sandlot, I think, is all we really had at the time. Biggie Smalls was on the queue that day. I can't remember the workout exactly, but I remember doing a lot of running, you know, up and down a field, you know, that field nearby. And it's just like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? This was terrible. especially, you know, the guy that EH'd me was Trench, which was Firewalker's neighbor at the time. And I think Trench was in for like a week, and he came up to me and was like, hey, there's this workout, you know, it's outside. And my wife was like pushing me to, hey, why don't you go check that out, you know, see what that's about and stuff. And I went out there, and, you know, the night before, made some pretty bad drinking decisions, and showed up, and I was like, this is hell. I don't know if I can do this. And during the whole workout, I knew you'd get like a funny name, you know, a little weird name and stuff. They pre-warned me on that. So, you know, I was just waiting till the end, and I got so nervous. That was the most nervous part. And, you know, that was at a time where, when I showed up, everybody was like hitting their feet, you know, like,
oh yeah, COVID. Yeah.
Pandemic like, days.
Yeah. You know, I was like, what is everybody doing? Is like, this is kind of different, you know, and normally fist pumps were like the thing around then. But even one step further, it's like, no, we're just going to kick each other's feet. And it's kind of, and it was cool. And now you look back, and now that's like the thing that it was, you know, some guys still do it, you know, out of repetition. But, you know, that day, you know, they ask you all these questions and put you in the center, and something I was still to the day really not even that comfortable with at times, you know, and ask you all these questions. And I was wearing a Kellogg's shirt. So I do work for Kellogg's companies, and I had that shirt, and I can't remember who said it out loud, but, you know, it has a tiger on the back, and it's just Tony the Tiger. Awesome. And it was just kind of stuck, awesome. You know, and been there ever since. So, and I've had a lot of names in between there, the Triple T's and all those others that probably shouldn't be said, but yeah, they're great.
Good, man. How did you actually know Trench before getting into it?
So I've known him for a very long time. My wife and his wife worked together at Pinnacle. My brother-in-law, Kyle, him and Trench were high school friends. So it was just like that instant bond. As soon as we met each other through our wives, you know, we had a lot of similarities. We liked doing a lot of the same things, and it just kind of took off from there. He was always the kind of the fit workout guy, big runner, doing all that, and I was more of the, how about we just hang out, you know? And so he was a good push. And then Firewalker and yourselves, you know, kind of took it to that other level, which was great.
Awesome,
you know?
Was he there for your first beat down? Like your first one?
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yep.
Good deal.
Yep.
What would you think of the beat down itself? You show up, there's guys there, we're kind of doing some weird name workout exercises here. What was your thought?
You know, it was kind of an eye opener, really. You know, it was really something that kind of pushed you, you know, like I'll go back to kind of like my VQ, you know, something I shared with everybody is I really did, you know, majority of the workouts and got really heavily involved. It's because you came to a place where nobody wanted anything from you. You know, you go to work, everybody needs something, wants something, you go home, you're needed and wanted, which are all great feelings, but it was a place you can come to where nobody expected anything from you. You know, you could just show up, didn't have to do anything, or you can be the fastest or you can be the slowest. It doesn't matter. You know, you just show up and you can just be part of the guys. You know, everybody's on the same level, same talking points. And, you know, you come to find out all these different guys come from different areas of life that we all have the same maybe issues or talking points, going through over hurdles. And then with the different age gaps in the group now, you have guys that have already been through that or done that. So to learn what they did to get through it. And, you know, now being this far in, you see the guys that are going through the same things maybe we went through, you know, a few years ago. So it's just that part of it is what really was really interesting to me. You know, when I first started, Gunner, prime number one prospect right there. As soon as the workout was over, you're like right up in my face. Hey man, what are you doing? Hey, this is what it's about. This is, you know, give me your number and all this stuff. And I was just like, whoa, you know, but he'd come to find out he's a great person. He was a great leader and a good friend, you know, is really leaning on him. Those first early days was really cool. Really fun.
I love it. You kind of mentioned there, that your wife was encouraging you to join. Talk us through, like, was it that easy? Like Trench just said, hey, come work out, or did it kind of take, like, I don't know, like, how did you get to that point where you're like, yeah, this is maybe something I should explore?
So that is something that I was thinking about a lot, you know, before I even heard about F3, you know, I was talking to the wife. I'm like, man, I just feel like something's not there. Like, maybe I need to be a volunteer firefighter. Maybe I need to go do things over here or things over there. Like, what can I do with this extra time? At that time, I had a lot of extra time. The kids were still a lot younger. And it's just like, what am I going to do? You know, I feel like there was just something missing. And it wasn't really, come to find out now, it wasn't really the working out part. It's just hanging out with some dudes.
Yeah.
You know, just hanging out with some dudes. You know, you get done with that college era or that early life phase of hanging out with buddies, playing video games, going out to bars, you know, having that kind of bonding time and all that fun, those, you know, reminisce those days, that kind of goes away. You almost got to be a dad and, you know, a husband and, you know, maybe a good colleague and all those other things. And you lose out on that fun stuff, you know, that stuff's fun too, just a different kind. So, you know, getting that back was kind of what I needed. So, you know, to kind of answer your question, it was, you know, she was kind of pushing me to go find something like that, but I was looking in the wrong way and I didn't even know it existed. So when it did come up, I mean, it took one ask and I was all in. I was there. So
that's really cool to hear, you know, sort of Sky Q, right, doing his work in your life and your heart, and then here comes Trench. I am curious, so my fastest half marathon time ever is running with Trench because he's so darn fast and I was just trying to keep up with him. You mentioned you weren't necessarily the fitness guy. So talk us through, like, how did your fitness journey progress once you started F3? Like, are you a runner now? I guess I would be curious.
Yeah, I would say half and half. You know, I went through a phase of very high running. My fitness journey started, you know, probably a year or so before I came to F3. You know, maybe even a year before that, if you really look back far enough, I'd say when my daughter was born, you know, I was probably at my heaviest. You know, I was 226 pounds at the time, you know, drink pop, ate bad, you know, just going about the daily motions through life. And then when she was born, I kind of flipped a gear and went the total opposite. You know, I ate perfectly clean, worked out every day, started with in the basement, you know, doing the videos. My wife, after having the kids, she got really big into fitness. So like following her lead into it, you know, she kind of pushed me into doing some of that. So, you know, I was never a runner though. I never ran over a mile in my entire life until I joined F3. And even that mile, you'd probably have to go back to grade school, not even high school. Like when we did track and all that, I was like, oh, the 100 meters fine, you know, maybe the 400 if we're pushing it. But even in football and all that, I just never got into it. But, you know, just to kind of go about it, I joined in late August. The Titan Alley was started a week after my first time. So it was September 7th is my birthday, and it started up in a week. And by November was the first turkey trot.
Oh, wow.
And I had never even pre-ran more than 2 miles. And Firewalker and Jean-Claude came over and like, turkey trot, it's half marathon. You know, you're in. And I'm like, I've never ran that far in my life. I've never ran over 2 miles. You know, and they didn't, there was no like, can you? It's just, no, you're doing it. And, and Firewalker ran with me the entire trip. And man, it was rough. I couldn't walk for days, but I ended up getting it done in under 2 hours for my first time. And that was like the pinnacle is like, I can do this. Like they can do it, you know, and I could have never done it without the guys around me though. I mean, that was definitely a push, but that's, since then, you know, I've really backed down on a lot of the running. I did go through, you know, a heart surgery a couple years ago that really kind of stopped the high intense workouts. Now it's more of just low and, you know, I'll go for a 5K here or there, but I really don't push it beyond that anymore. Kind of listen to my body, you know, what can it handle, and it can handle more, but it's more mental now than probably anything.
So you're going through somewhat of a fitness journey before, you know, the birth of your child, you find this group, you know, did it fill a cup for you fitness wise? I mean, did you feel like it was, you were getting enough out of it compared to what you were doing before?
Oh, by far. That's still true to this day. You know, if you go do a workout at home, even with, you know, my M there and she lifts and runs and all that. I mean, it's just, it's very easy to let her down in the workout. You know, where it's like, you know, cause you don't really push too much. You're on different levels of fitness. It's just different, you know, but you go out with a group of guys and you see guys that are like either sprinting down the track or down the field doing bear crawls. And, you know, I know Plague, you're big into burpees, but if you ask me to do burpee at home, it's like, no,
I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
good. Yeah. So just a little bit of increased accountability, you think, in that environment?
It really is. Know? Everybody pushes everybody, whether you think about it or not. The guys around you are doing it. Why wouldn't you do it?
Well, and I know it's not supposed to be competitive, but there's just something that kind of kicks in with other guys there. You're like, well, if Plague can do it, I can do it.
You say not competitive, take it out.
Right. It's funny you mentioned the workout videos. I'm imagining like Insanity or P90X, which would explain why you and Gunner get along, because I know he's big into that. But I didn't know you had heart surgery. I guess tell us about that if you don't mind.
So it's been about 2 years, 3 years now. I went to Titan Alley for an early Smurf workout, and as we started running down the hill, just that whole morning, I just felt, you know, a little off, right? So as we started our run down the hill, my watch kind of just like freaked out a little bit, and I could feel something in my chest. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. I feel like my heart's going to come out of my chest. And I did the small loop. And as we started coming back up the hill, I just stopped running. I was like, I can't do this. I really felt like my heart was coming out. I looked down and my watch said 217 heart rate. And I'm like, whoa. So started walking. I got in the truck and I just left and I went home. I didn't know where to go. So I just went home. I laid on the couch and my wife said, what's wrong? What's going on? I was like, I just feel like my heart's going to come out. And she looked down at my watch and it was still over 200, even after just laying there. So she's like, you need to go to the emergency room. Like, you could be having a heart attack. What's going on? So I went to the ER and they hooked all these machines up to me and I was having a, not a heart attack, but I forget the name of it. When the top of the heart is pumping too much blood to the bottom of the heart. So to a couple options to get it fixed is just cause it kept happening and happening. And he said, some people have it, flutters. Sorry. Some people have it and they'll go away. And he said, some people have it and they just keep on having them. So some of the things that we could do to fix it, he's like, you could have take medicine for the rest of your life. He says, you're pretty young, you know, probably one of the youngest I've seen in here for this kind of issue, which I wouldn't recommend. He's like, or I go in there and fix it. And I immediately was no consideration. I'm like, you're just going to go in there and fix it. I'm, you know, we're not going to do medicine forever. So he went in there and I went up through my legs and did a cryoablation where he like freezes each artery and kind of restarts it. Just kind of giving me a new top of the heart, kind of restarts the engine. So ever since then, I've been great, you know, been fine, but I also don't push kind of like I used to. Just nervousness. Sure. But
what a scary scenario, I guess. So that was 2-3 years ago. So did you take some time off, you feel like, and then kind of ease your way back in, or how'd you kind of process through that?
That was a really rough time, really, at home. I definitely took a long time off. You know, I remember queuing at the farm. That's when I told everybody about what was going on. And I, you know, I went in for surgery the following week and then I came back, but really slow. And ever, you know, I was the everyday week guy, you know, I mean, I wish there was one on Sundays every day, you know, during those early phases. And then when that kind of happened, you know, it's hard to say if it's that or if it's because, you know, you're at the 2.5-3 year mark in and other things in life, you know, priorities and things like that. And it's like, well, I kind of want to stay up late and hang with the family, or I need to go to bed because I need to be up at 4:10 so I can be at the pre-run. So it's like, you know, those kind of, I say if you combined all of those together, I just found my own balance for myself and for my family, where 2 to 3 days a week, you know, 3 days is high, 2 is about normal. 1 is low week, but it just fluctuates. You know, I would say that plus other phases in life kind of just narrowed it down. It's like, it's gotten so big and you have so many different avenues to support people and to go do extra things outside of the gloom to help your community. It just made more sense for me for a balance to find those days that just worked, you know, works for him, works for the kids' functions. And I can go to sleep earlier this night, get up early, you know, it had its certain balance. And that was very important for our whole family. And to be quite honest, our whole family even sticking together, you know, because there's that phase in there where it's hard on the family, you know, because you become so involved, which is great, but sometimes it's too much.
Well, and I would think, I mean, was your M kind of wanting you to be more cautious with your workouts following that event? I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. She wanted it to back down, and it wasn't even her. It was actually even extended family, that were reaching out, you know, hey, we see you have running all the time, you know, every day you put in a minimum of 5K a day plus a workout and then doing extra things throughout the day or maybe after work. And that's hard, you know, even younger, you know, maybe nobody's, you know, equal in that, where maybe internally and maybe it couldn't handle it. You know,
what I really love about your journey there is you found a way to stay involved, but at a pace and frequency that works for you and your family. And I think I was just talking to a guy the other day that has taken some time off and he's kind of struggling with almost like shame or like embarrassment, because he was at this place fitness wise and now coming back, he doesn't feel like he's quite there. Did you go through any of that, or how did you manage maybe some of that sort of stuff? Or maybe that wasn't an issue for you.
No, I'm still going through that.
Okay.
I'm still going through that. that is, he's very true. He's very honest on that. It's, you know, you go from, I was at Danger Zone and I was having a pre-run with Tater Tot. And this is a few years ago. And we were, I think it was when we queued the 5 T's of F3 is what we called it. It was a workout. It was funny. And we were doing the pre-run and I was a few years in and things were moving and I was feeling great. That's really good shape too. You know, running a 5K was like nothing. And he's like, hey, what do you love about it? You know, and I look back at my answer and my answer was so stupid at the time. But I was just like, you know, I can mow the yard with my shirt off and feel amazing. You know, that is so true. Yeah. When you know you got the neighbors looking because you feel that good about yourself.
Yeah, heck yeah.
You know, it builds your confidence. It builds your physical appearance. You know, I just remember being in the yard and even catches the M's eye where it's just like, oh, you look great. You know, it's like, but a lot took place for this to happen. Well, going through all of that, what happens is you fall into another old bad routine of you're not getting the workouts in, but you're still maybe eating and drinking the same way you did when you worked out all the time, but you're not burning it
anymore.
Body can't keep up with that. And it just takes a different turn where maybe you don't feel that way anymore. So I'm on the other side. It's like, how do I get that back without having to put in not the time? The time's not the bad part. It's just getting into that routine again of the all the running and then the lifting and all that to get that back where it's easy again, but it's maintainable. Yeah. And that's,
well, and you know, the, as a group, we talk about this concept of acceleration, right? You know, you look at a guy, hey, he's really accelerating. He's hitting the pre-runs. He's ready to take on a site, whatever.
Yeah.
But acceleration meet you at different phases in your life, right? So your acceleration early on was, hey, I'm going to hit all these pre-runs. I'm going to post 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
All right, this event happens. This looks different for me now. And maybe acceleration is, hey, I need to lead into Queen Service or something like that, right? Lean in that way. I'm curious, have you tried Queen Service or anything like that?
You know, I signed up for it a couple of times, but it just really wasn't suited for me. Wasn't really my cup of tea. But quite honestly, while we're talking now is, you know, I leaned in into queuing the farm. Yeah, that's what I leaned into. It's like, that's going to get me the cup filled, you know, helping out Springfield, you know, our community, our town, you know, where our kids go to school, that, and spreading it across the neighborhood and the neighbors, you know, that's something that you guys probably know, but I'm like the best EHer in the entire world. Yeah. You've heard some rumors, I'm sure, but that was my way to get the connection. Yeah. Was to, you know, lead the farm. That was pretty important to me, you know, to make sure that Sundance and I could keep that going, but also to keep it part of the community. You know, like we have all the Sarpy sites and they're fantastic. They're all across La Vista, Ralston, Papillion, and further Gretna and all that. But Springfield is a very tight knit community. Everybody knows everybody. You know, we all support each other. So that was pretty big for me. Like, how do I get more Springfield people to come out and to really make those bonds? Yeah. You know, we all see each other and wave when we mow or we're in the driveway, but how do you get to really know those people? You get those guys out in the morning. That's when you get to really know them. So that was the getting my connection back to that three. That's what I was feeling.
I love that. Why don't you tell us a little about the farm and taking over and kind of your mission there to grow Springfield a little bit and just your initial thoughts of taking the flag and then succession planning, all that stuff.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence about doing it a little bit just because of, you know, I was like half a step in at the time. You know, I was fully in, then fully out, then trying to get back in a little bit and to not go to every site, you know, am I going to be able to pull the guys and get the groups in, that's kind of needed to help grow it. So that's where I leaned in and to Skids, to try to get that going. And we both, talked and Sundance was another one that really wanted to be a part of it too. And I think him and I were on, on the same page, Sundance and I were, about he's got the younger crowd. I had more of the older crowd. And how do we put these together and work together? You know, like you guys with your M's, you have to communicate very well, be on the same page, have good conversations with each other. That's what Sundance and I had to do to make it kind of work. You know, I know a lot of people maybe on the fence about having a CoQ, but I thought it did great things. It teaches you to work together, communicate, you know, be direct when you need to be direct and kind of work together. So it teaches you a lot, you know, you were able to still put your own spin on it. And I thought it was just, you know, really fun to kind of work with him and get to know that younger crowd, which he still went to all those sites where I was the 2 day a week person that had maybe the older guys that's been around for a long time, and how we could mesh them together to really create those bonds in between each other. That was my point of view on it. And to the successor of what we wanted to leave it off with, Rambus was always, I think from day one, the guy. You know, when you first meet the guy, his comments and his one-liners and his just whole demeanor, it's perfect. It's perfect. He draws you to him just with the way he talks to people, how he, you know, portrays himself. I mean, it was the perfect fit for him. And he's a Springfield guy. He's on the HOA in our neighborhood. He's always around the community. His wife teaches at the school. So he knows the people. He's very, you know, around the neighborhood. He's probably like the governor of Springfield by now. But he just helps draw people in. So he was the perfect fit, whether he knew it or not. I mean, Sundance, as soon as I even looked at each other, we knew that that was the option. So and we really didn't give him a choice. It was more of a, you're going to do this because you're going to be great at it. And he is. I mean, he's perfect.
I love the farm. It's really the only AO where you can do bullpen burpees. So if you haven't been down there to do bullpen burpees or just to, you know, it was always wild to me to think, like, normally when I'm here, there's animals and a rodeo and like all this stuff going on. And to be there like in the early dark hours of the morning is like, it's just really cool to me. But I love your perspective and all of the things that you learned as a psych cure that you feel like you got out of it. Any advice that you would share with other guys that are maybe in that thinking about becoming a psych cure or maybe on the fence or maybe current psych cures, like anything that they could do to maybe get out of it, what you got out of it?
That's a good question. I would recommend just to be silly. Don't worry about what others think. Be funny, be a dork. You know, really just be a dork. Don't worry about the tweet. It don't matter. You know, just be you and just be a goofy you that maybe the kids see. You know, like only the kids see. Just be that part of you. That's what makes people laugh. And the weirder it is, the funnier it is. You know, so I recommend just being silly, you know, and, you know, bring the speaker. I mean, Girl Dad had karaoke. A queue at the farm once, and it was awesome. You know, it was one of the memorable ones, where it's just like nobody ever done that before, and none of us are really good singers. There's a few, but majority of us aren't. But it made you get out of your comfort zone, and that's how you grow. You know, so I would recommend a new site queue or maybe upcoming site queue, just to think outside the box and just to be silly. You know, just keep on going with it.
I love that. I'm trying to imagine a karaoke queue. That sounds amazing. That sounds awesome.
It was great.
Well, take us back. You know, so we talked a little bit about fitness and curious, sort of the fellowship piece. It does seem like, as I hear your story, you feel like you've built some relationships and definitely CF3 is a conduit for that. But how did you go about doing that as you came into the group? Did you know guys already, or did you, like, I don't know, how did you build some of those friendships?
I really didn't know anybody but Trench. You know, that was the only person I knew, but it didn't take long before you feel like you knew everyone, you know, and people knew me before I even knew them. And there wasn't a whole lot of sites. So you get to know you know, like yourselves, and you know, you go up to Paradise Island every Wednesday, and it doesn't take long, especially when those, we had 40 people there. It doesn't take long before you knew a lot of the guys, you know, especially when you came every day. I brought a lot of my friends with me, I would think. Not that I was the one that really EH'd them, because I wasn't the total best at that, but you know, High Life, Ferdinand, Skittles and all that, they came from that tree. That was just, you know, really, really cool to kind of hang out with them more on in the beginning of the mornings. And then we also did it that afternoons and nights and stuff like that. But, you know, you build relationships with these people. It doesn't take long when you're out running a 5K. You know, the beatdowns are harder to really communicate. But the 5Ks, that's what really got me into those. There's some really great conversations, you know, with the John Clauds and the Firewalkers of the world. Those guys, you know, when you're doing the pre-run and you're suffering and you hate it, your mind opens up, you know, and I learned it wasn't always best to be the talker. Sometimes it's good to just be a listener and you get a lot more out of that. And I know it's a vent for maybe somebody else. But sometimes it was better healing for me to just listen, to hear what other people were going through, and to maybe communicate a little bit better myself, or to maybe put an input if they needed, or just listen and just keep on running. So the bonds don't take long to make, in those moments. Those are worth it.
Yeah, I remember running next to you a few times in those early days. And I think you, the times you did share it, I remember you being pretty vulnerable and sharing just different things maybe you're going through with your family, or, you know, and I think those are, like you said, it's interesting because your body is like, doesn't like what you're putting it through. And so then for whatever reason, your mind just opens up. But, you know, I wanted to touch on something you mentioned earlier, because I think, you know, when we think about like fellowship, like all the relationships in your life, right? Your wife and your kids. And, but there is sort of this dynamic where at some point F3 like starts to impact, you know, those other relationships. I don't know if you would be willing to share sort of your experience there, and maybe how'd you work through that? Cause I think a lot of guys get to that point and then they're sort of, they're torn, right? Cause I got this thing I really love, but I got my family that I need to be there for. How'd you work through that?
That was hard. That was really hard. It flipped our family upside down, really, because of how much time you spend. You know, if you think about it, and you go to a pre-run, you know, you're waking up at 4:10, you do a pre-run, a workout, then you go to coffee afterwards. Next thing you know, it's Saturday and you're not home till 8:30 or 9. You know, that's hard on a family. You know, the kids are already up. They wanted breakfast. The wife maybe wanted just communication, you know, to know that she's there. And that she's heard. So that was hard. You know, we went through a pretty rough patch with that. And, you know, how I fixed it, and I wouldn't say it fixed it, you know, perfectly, but how we got better, listening, like you do in the workouts, you know, on the pre-runs, like I spoke about, paying attention, you know, actually adding that value, making sure that those people in your life know that they're the center. And, you know, doing things for them. If you do it for somebody in the morning, maybe as a friend that you're running with all the time and you know about their lives and inputs and, you know, but if you can't go home and give those same inputs to any of your family members, that's a problem. So to change that, put in the same efforts at home or more than you do in the morning, it doesn't take long to fix itself. You know, it's just putting forth that same effort. It's hard to do. It really is hard to do. And whether that's day dates or taking the kids to the park for, you know, leaving the phone at home and getting rid of the WhatsApp channel for 10 minutes, you know, if you guys could put that off to the side for a little bit. I mean, it does wonders. And eye contact and listening, I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, buying this or buying that or treats here or treats there or vacations here or there. It just takes, you know, that communication level of letting the person or people know that you're there and you're there to help them, you know, or they're communicate or let them know that they're seen. You know, that's another big thing that happened inside F3 is it gives everybody a chance to be seen. or heard. Yeah. Well, your kids and your imps and your sisters, brothers, girlfriends, whoever it is, everybody just wants seen. They just want to be heard and know that they matter. So that's all I can recommend, is just to make sure that if you're going to put that effort for the morning, mm-hmm. you should be putting in the same amount of effort or more at home. And that'll fix a lot.
I love this idea of just putting in the effort in all facets of your life. And I commend you for kind of recognizing, hey, I need to make a shift here. Whether that was health related, family related, whatever, you did it. Yeah. You know, what do they think about it today?
The wife actually recently has been pushing me, you need to be working out more again. Like, let's get after it again. Put the cookies down for 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, but I love cookies.
Picturing you mowing with your shirt off in your mind.
She misses that. That was 3 years ago, buddy. That's that body's long gone. That's a cheap body, you know? But that's, you know, we started working out again. She's never quit. I mean, she's a big person. She's been, since, I mean, 9 years ago, every morning, she's a 4:45 a.m. person and gets it done every day. There's no days off for her. She really pushes, you know, that whole envelope of, you know, if I can do it, you can do it, you know. Kind of. So, I mean, as the kids are getting older and they're getting in more sports, you know, like we're playing baseball and we're running the bases and they want me to show them how to do it. It's like, man, 3 years ago, this was way easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is so much harder now. Is it older? Yeah, but you know, there's also a lot of guys in F3 that I respect that can they can get it done.
Move, yeah,
you know, they can do it. I can do it. Kind of mentality.
Yeah. You know, I love. It's just a good reminder that no matter how much we want F3 to be in the concentrica, it's not. Right, it's not one of the key relationships, which is just countercultural. Like most organizations or businesses, like. They want you to like, yeah, focus on us, right? But F3 is sort of saying like, nope, like you gotta, you know, spin the plates at home first, right? Yeah. And so but it sounds like you found a really good balance, and I'm right there with you, right? I'm 3 days a week, and that's that seems to be a good balance.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
But, you know, one of the things I would be curious about as you're thinking about all of this stuff, right? Just this journey. And we kind of mentioned earlier, right? Like SkyQ maybe has some things planned out that we don't always see, but what's your faith journey been like from a sort of spiritual perspective? What's kind of been, would be curious, like if you grew up with that sort of stuff around or what's been your journey there?
Yeah. That is a pretty big question. It says I went to a Catholic school. From third grade to eighth grade. And we went to church every day. And my grandma, we went to church every Sunday, you know, with my mom and her and stuff. So it was really a really big thing growing up. And really didn't know much about it. You know, it's just, I was always around it. Mm-hmm. As I got older, you know, you go to a public school for high school and it kind of gets you away from it. And, you know, and grandparents, you know, they end up leaving us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't pull you in anymore because eventually you end up going because, at least me, I end up going because she wanted me there. You know, it was more of spending time with her because that's what she enjoyed to do. But when they leave us, you know, you kind of stop that. Life gets busy. I never returned back to the church. You know, we believe, yes, there's God. And we do our praying in-house. And we, wife and I, and we talk about this a lot. You know, which route do we lead the kids down? You know, that's the other big question. You know, as the kids are getting older, like which route do we need to lead them down? I'd like them to choose for themselves. Mm-hmm. What's best for your world and that what you're going to believe in? You know, yes, it's out there. What do you think? You know, like, you know, there's no right or wrong, I don't think. But, you know, ever since then, I would say it's changed inside F3 faith-wise. It's just believing in something greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, be a steward to your people. You know, how do we help people? You know, how do we be a good community leader? You know, do the right thing even when nobody's looking. Yeah. So that's kind of my outlook on it now, you know, is not what's after this, but what could I do along the way? Mm-hmm. You know, that's my spiritual. That's my third F.
That's great, man. You know, I am curious, you know, as you and your M have decided how you're going to lead your children, I guess, how do you guys feel like that you've given them the space to kind of figure out what they're going to figure out and be supportive in certain areas? I'm just interested.
Yeah, we're a pretty open book family. We're pretty open. And, you know, as the kids are getting older, they're realizing that, you know, yeah, we could say whatever you want. You know, let's hear. It's how we learn. You know, let's fail. You know, let's fail here, let's fail there. All right, now what do we learn from it? So, you know, we kind of let them go down their own path with that. You know, we try to teach them that the rights and wrongs, you know, good things and bad things to do. You know, like if there's something in the, for example, we went to a baseball park, and the park was full of trash. Mm. And instead of leaving, we stopped and we picked it all up, put it, threw it away. And it's just do something that others would like to be done. You know, leave it better than you found it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the whole outlook. So I hope that answers the question, Pony. Maybe it doesn't, but that was kind of our outlook, just to lead by guidance.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think you also mentioned too the service aspect, right? So like third F is kind of like these two, there's like maybe the spiritual component and then also like the service aspect. I would be curious, something I think I've heard you reference is your role as a site queue. You sort of viewed that as like a way to serve your community, which I love and I totally agree with, but talk us through like that service piece. Do you feel like, have you got to do some of the third F, like blood drive or any of that sort of stuff, or what else, have you found through F3 to do that third F sort of service piece?
Yeah. You know, I did the blood drive up to the heart surgery. You know, that was pretty fun. Another challenge to be the fastest or slowest, whichever you want.
Yeah.
But that was always a fun activity. You know, I did the can drives. We'd go support and help people. My sister has a brain aneurysm, and so she's had a couple surgeries where every year during September, there's a Warner Park run for aneurysm awareness. People came out, F3 guys came out to support her. You know, they never met her. And the guys came out and did a 5K run, like 2 or 3 years in a row, I think we did it. So that step beyond the service, those extra things, I probably didn't do enough looking back with that question, but other people did more than enough, you know, to help support maybe my family or extended family. You know, that was pretty eye-opening. Just, you know, another one that kind of pops out about those extra support things is, you know, I was finishing the basement and I knew Gunner for probably 3 weeks at the time. And I had 200 sheets of drywall show up at my house. And I was talking about it in the workout, like, man, now after the workout, I got to go carry all this drywall downstairs. And it was High Life, Skittles, Trench, me, and we're like, this is going to be a day. Gunner's like, I'll come help. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to do that. Like, no, I'll come help. That's fine. I'm like, wow, like this guy is super nice. Like, who would do this? Like, this is hard work. He helped us carry all 200 sheets to the basement. I'll never forget that day. So, I mean, I feel like people helped me more than I probably helped them. But looking back, it was a good ride. It was
fun. Yeah, I love it. Gunner is a really great dude. I love that you connected with him. Yeah. And Triple T, you'll have to forgive me if I'm remembering this wrong. But I also feel like part of your journey, maybe involve some like battle with alcohol or substance abuse. Am I remembering that right? That's yeah. Kind of part of your journey, something that you've overcome. Would you be willing to share that with people?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was back in college. You know, you get around the wrong friends and you do what your friends do. You want to be cool with your friends. So like I went through a phase between high school and college where I really never fit in with the exact group. You know, you're perfect right here. You know, like you fit in with these guys, you know, it was always just, I was from group to group to group, you know, even in high school, you know, it was with the sports guys, cause I played all the sports, but I was with the car guys and all that stuff. So as we got into college, I never really just, it's such a wide open, like it was just a free for all, you know, you're living on your own and you're hanging out with all these different groups of people. And, you know, you, one thing leads to another and you go to a party and that party ends up going to, you know, 2-3 a.m. And then there's substance abuse there all the time, you know, and it takes one time and you become, it's weird how they say it. It's like, don't do it. But it only takes that once and you're fixed. Mm-hmm. Like you're immediately there. So then it turns into, well, the next weekend, let's go party again. That was super fun. And yeah, it's a blast. Yeah, I loved it. And then it happens again. Yeah. And then it happens again. And then it leads you down a terrible path. It's a hard path. And I went through it for a few years. But what stopped me, you know, and I went from the drinking, you know, like drink a whole case of beer by myself, plus doing extracurricular activities, during, that just never ends. But you know, I owe my wife a lot of credit for that. She pulled me out of that. You know, she pulled me away from that. You know, meeting her changed a lot of things. You know, it pulled me out of that friend group. It moved me away from that friend group. And that was the key, is just finding a good group of guys to hang around. You know, not that those other people that I still see, I mean, I run across them from time to time, you know, a couple times a year. Still great in individuals, just how they, you know, go about their life and their journey and what they put in their body is their own business. But you live better without it. You know, mind, you're clearer, better decisions. It's led me down a better career path. It's led me down a better home life, you know, physical abilities, things like that.
Well, and I think what you're describing, especially like early on high school, right out of high school into college, like a lot of young men and individuals have somewhat of an identity crisis, right? Like, who am I going to be? Yeah. You know, who am I aligning myself with? What does that lead to? What are the fruits of those relationships? You know, my question would be, you've kind of seen your way through that. You're here now. Mm-hmm. What would you say your identity is, or what you want your identity to be?
That's a really good question. Good listener. A provider. Leader. I would like to be classified as a all around good friend. You know, that to me would be ideal.
I love that, man.
I love it. That's a tough question, Pony. I don't know. You pulled that one out of the archives there. Triple T, something that I know I've struggled with and just recently, right, handing off some of my leadership responsibilities in F3, sort of this thought of like, you know, how can I be accepted or how can I know I'm accepted? And you kind of commented on that. I would be curious, have you found your group of guys? Do you feel like in F3, you feel like you got a core group of guys that really sort of just can support you and kind of validate you as a man? I'm curious if you found that.
You know, I've had different groups throughout the F3 journey. When I first started joining, there wasn't very many sites. So like I said before, you had to travel. And being in Springfield, I was only one from Springfield, I would have to drive every day. And it wasn't a short drive. You know, I'd always have to go here or there. So I became close with individuals that as more sites came up, it wasn't needed for me anymore to drive a long ways, and I could stay local, and then I was home earlier, which was a big advantage, or I could sleep in a little bit more is a big advantage. So my core group changed from, you know, individuals like yourselves, you know, at Paradise, or the Spike and all these other places, it changed to, you know, maybe a certain time period. It was, you know, High Life and a few others that were, you know, we're all, you know, hanging out afterwards before, when he lived close, we'd all, you know, at the pit and all these other places on Saturdays. And then it changed to, well, now we have Springfield and we get the farm. And then as we grew Springfield people, we're all community people. We all live next to each other. So it becomes a little bit easier to make those connections and bonds because we all live across the street from each other or a couple houses down. So I wouldn't, not that I am not friends with those other groups anymore. It's just, it's harder to see them.
Yeah.
Harder. But being we're all men, males, we all pick up right where we left off.
Sure. Yeah.
It's, you know, you can have a conversation a year ago and we can all relate and go right back to it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's okay, right? We want to see that growth. We want to see the starfish. We want to lead in our local communities, which is what's happened in Springfield. You know, one of your goals was, hey, I want to lead here because I want to give back to the community. Do you feel like with the growth and the expansion, that's kind of like, I don't know, your goal accomplished?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say with Rambus taking the lead, the goal was met. You know, we succeeded in our yearly mission. And to bring his group of people into the circle is what it did. Now we're not done, of course. I would like to see it keep going and Rambus put his spin on it. You know, what does he want to add to it? What's his, you know, F3 has a goal and a mission. What's Rambus's goal and mission for the farm for this next year? You know, Sundance and I had a goal and a mission. I feel like we succeeded. What is Rambus's and what's his going to take it to the next level? Is it to grow the individuals that are already in? Is it to bring more people in? Is it to do something for the community outside of the gloom? What is his, you know, and that'd be for him to decide.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. And you're sort of the way you described your different friend groups, right? Is like this beautiful picture of invigorating male community leadership, right? Because you get involved, we don't have a site in your community. And then over time, right, you start bringing other guys from your community and then we launch in your community. I don't know how many people know this, but Springfield was sort of the catalyst for sectoring because I think from idea to launch, it was maybe 2 years for the farm. So poor Ferdinand went through, you know, all these lunch meetings and different things. And it was really like, you know, so thankfully now we've got a leadership structure that allows you to launch new sites and get more sites in that area, which is super cool. Cause now, like you said, you can bring in your neighbors, right? And what better feeling than to like know your neighbor, right? And to really know them, which is so cool. But you know, where we kind of like to kind of land is getting your just sort of like a current state, like where you at, where do you need support, encouragement? If we see you out in the gloom, what's something that maybe we could check in with you on or nudge you on that you're maybe working on or going through right now?
You know, something in the gloom is for me personally right now is just to push with the physical ability. You know, getting back into the workout. What I didn't do a good job of, but I know people love and appreciate because I loved and appreciate it, is that text in the middle of the day that you get from an individual. It could have been the guy that was leading that day, or it could have been another person you just connected with that day. Sometimes that message of just is good seeing you this morning meant the world. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're having a bad day, something's not going well at work or at home, it just meant the world. So I would say if more people could do that, that would be a great message for all. You know, that means more than people realize. Now, not all appreciate it. You know, some are on the fence about that. But I didn't do a good job of it. I did it at times. But it's, you know, to be real with it too. You know, it's not just, hey, good job. But to recap of, you know, what you guys were discussing or maybe what the other person vented about or maybe as a physical ability. I think those things were, when they're done intentionally, are fantastic. Yeah. You know, that those things, I think if those could be picked up on would be great.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's awesome. And I do just want to say thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, I think something that I'll say to you, but I wish I could say to all guys, right, is it doesn't matter how many times a week you post in F3, you're still a part of it. We still love you. We're happy to see you when you come back, and we know you got other stuff that's going on, right? And so I think I just love that you found what seems like a really good rhythm for you and your family. I think that's really the point of all of this, even if it doesn't always feel like it. So I just love love getting to see you, love getting to hear your story, and I know that other guys will be excited to hear the journey too. I would just encourage guys, if you're out there with Triple T, I know he said he likes to listen, but ask him questions, because he'll share what's on his heart. He's got some really good stories. So we'll do a little name-a-rama here. I'll start us off. Brandon Fleaharty, 39, The Plague.
John Whitworth, 33, Pony Express.
Pony. Hey.
Brandon Carnes, 35, Tony Tiger.
Tony Tiger. They're great, right?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time today, brother.
Yep.